Hello?
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 If you can hear this, it's not too late. I return to warn you. This is Time Pop, a podcast that discusses time travel in pop culture. There are spoilers. I've seen the future, and nothing is sacred to these folks. Your past, present, and future are sure to be ruined. Even if you could go back in time, as I have, you will never forget what you are about to hear. You've been warned. This is Time Pop.
Welcome, Chrononauts, as we guide you through the experience of time travel using pop culture as our butt. We will be your constants. I am Dez.
I'm Ari.
And I'm Butt. Butt lifting.
And this is Time Butts.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. This is going to be my favorite podcast of all time.
Oh, no.
Desmond, that was the simplest one you've ever done.
It was either that or second place was theoretical quantum mechanics regarding both our perceptions of time and how we deal with universal spatial geography.
Nicely done.
I mean, that's pretty good, too.
So can we take a moment to explain to our listeners what you do at the beginning of each episode where you say that, what is it again? You say, I'm Desmond, I'm Ari, I'm Scott, and we will be your constants. Is that what it is? It's supposed to be, we will be your...
I don't know, Ari. I want to see if after 80 episodes, if you know what my intro is.
If I've been paying attention. Okay, so let me see if I can explain it. So in a lot of time travel, they talk about having a constant, right? Whether it's where you left, the original location you left before you traveled and you came back to that, and that is the constant, right?
It can be a person, right?
Right.
If that person is like your anchor that you get drawn back to.
Right. So in the intro, Desmond, for each episode, you pick something out of the movie or the TV show that you use as the constant for that.
This episode.
Okay.
Every intro is a special flair to it.
Okay.
No two episodes are alike, folks. And you get a Cracker Jack prize. Yeah.
And if you're a longtime listener, you know at one time they made sense.
They did. Then they started to just get more and more obscure. And you prided yourself, I think, on being as weird and just out there as you could be.
Yeah. If now I'm just trying to catch you guys off guard.
Yeah. If he can make me laugh, he did his job.
It's always exciting. It's always like Scott and I kind of like wait, like, what's he going to say? What's going to be the constant for this episode? And then we're always just shocked and or appalled or
I have to confess I'm gonna confess here on this episode, it's kind of my shtick.
Yeah,
because I do the same thing for Wheel of Time too. In one form. It's different, but I try to pull something from that week's episode or chapter or something, and my goal is the same there, is to make sure that I can screw up their intro by making them laugh.
Yeah. I feel like in the beginning, you used to actually find something in the movie or the TV show that was like their constant for their time
or
travel.
Or at least time travel based. Yeah. At least,
and,
like.
And now you don't.
You know what I realized? I think I remember the episode where it all changed.
Oh.
And that was Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh.
And I'm like, I'm not going to say hot tub. Like,
did you say like Lugol? Was Lugol?
No, I think it was the Chernobyl.
Oh, right. The drink. Yeah.
I think was my, and Ari was like, no, it's the hot tub. I'm like, oh, it only gets worse from here, sister.
I think it was the drink for that movie. That was the constant. That drink is what they needed to travel. So you might've been right.
That's true. That's true.
All right. Well,
and we don't know. These two are pretty into each other's butt. So this is kind of a horny little short we watched here.
Let's tell our listeners what we watched.
It's romantic.
It's horny. It is not.
You're horny.
These people have never met each other and they are horny.
All right. What are we doing?
What did we watch?
We are doing 1 Minute Time Machine, which I think it's come up on the episode. I know it's come up a lot around the episodes that we've been talking about doing this. And it's pretty short. So it's like, okay, where does it fit? But we've just been talking about it more and more. And then this week we were a little time crunched. So
nice pun.
It seems
like time got the best of these time masters.
Time shrunk.
It's a construct.
Are we the time masters?
Time master.
Are you the gatekeeper or the key master?
Apparently, we're the time masters.
Time master.
We are. We're gonna be time cops. You guys realize in 40 years, like, we're gonna be recruited. They're gonna be like, who do we get to do this job? Like, no one's trained for this job.
No one knows more about time travel than the podcasters.
We got some people for you.
Or quantum physicists, but we won't get into that.
Yeah, we know more.
So, yes, we are doing 1 minute time machine. This is very unique for us. This is the shortest film we've ever reviewed.
Yep.
A tight 6 minutes. How many times do you
not even.
How many times do you think I watched this today, Scott?
Oh God.
Oh, I want to guess. Let's see.
20.
I'm gonna guess you watched this 14 times.
I'm going 20.
I think Ari's about right. I was gonna say 12.
Yeah.
And of course.
Well, watch is loose terminology. He means it was on in the background while he was making a sandwich.
But I was listening to it because I watched it like I was messing around with my system and I wanted to make sure that I could get TV sound through my system into my recording. So I looped it like 6 or 7 times while I was doing that, trying to get my audio set up. So the audio is definitely embedded and there's not a lot of action. This whole movie takes place on a single park bench. So I didn't have to look up and wonder where they'd run off to. I could picture it.
Just for our listeners, you can see this adorable 5 minute short on YouTube, commercial free, because it's only 5 minutes. But yeah, go watch it and then come back and listen to the three of us jab about it.
And what's amazing about this, it is a 5 minute film, and yet it's like better on time travel theory than a lot of these features that we've seen. Like, to be able to get something interesting and cover a good concept in 5 minutes is pretty special. And it's a comedy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And a romance. And it's time travel. They did it in 5 minutes. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And you know what the most important thing I learned watching this was that, now I can't remember her name. Erin, what's her last name?
Erin Hayes.
Erin Hayes is not Rose Byrne.
She is not.
That was the most important thing. I kept on being like, oh yeah, I know her. She was in Neighbors. And she was in that other movie. She was in a couple of movies. I was like, no. Then I looked up her IMDb. I'm like, why is she not in any of these movies I remember her from?
She's in Bill and Ted Face the Music.
She is. Two-timer!
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a time? Oh.
We did it on this podcast. That's two-timing enough for me.
Uh-huh. All right. Welcome to the two-timer club.
I don't care if they were on the road. They were on this feed twice. Yeah.
All right.
So.
Welcome to the party.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, this film, I'm so, like, also, we watch all these sitcoms where you can barely get in anything thought-provoking in 30 minutes, and the fact they did it in 5 minutes is impressive.
Yeah, it was so great, and it's interesting because it's super light on machine science,
yep,
but super heavy on
theory
and ethics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just two people, a camera shot, and a park bench. That's all you need. So simple.
So great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't even know how this guy got his time travel machine. You know, we don't even know anything about her, but that she's into time travel and she knows. I wonder if, is that book a real book? The book she's reading?
My niece is into time travel.
Right.
I'm a fucking quantum physics star lord.
Yeah. I'm going to assume that book is not a real book.
I kept meaning to. That was the one thing.
Quantum mechanics. It says, I'm looking at it now. Quantum mechanics and the truth of time and space.
It is a real book?
I don't think that's real.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no backstory, but you don't need it. He's this kind of guy who doesn't really know what he's doing with a time machine box that when you hit the big red button, it sends you back 1 minute, just like the title says, 1 minute time machine. It sends you back 1 minute so you can redo whatever happened in that 1 minute.
And it's not an area. It's apparently whoever touches the red button goes back 1 minute.
Yep.
Whoever happens to hit the red button.
Yeah, it's not who's holding the box, right? It's not who's within a vicinity. It's Whoever smashes that red button.
I love that. It's the opening line. She looks down at his box, be like, oh, is that a 1 minute time machine? And he's like, and it says on it, 1 minute time machine in huge letters.
So great.
And then that's his first, that's the first hit. Then he redoes time and to cross out the title of the box.
So yeah, the one thing I wished they had explored a little bit more in this, especially when she starts hitting the button, is where exactly the 1 minute mark is. Like, now can he hit the button twice?
Right, if you just keep hitting it.
Can he keep mashing?
Yes, you would assume yes. If you hit it 1 minute and then as soon as that starts, hit it again.
You'd go back another minute.
Go back more, yeah.
Ooh, just leaving a trail of
dead bodies.
Well, do you want to explain, since it's so short, we can just pretty much explain the premise and the ending and then get into it.
We've already talked twice as long as the movie is. So.
So he's hitting on her. He's basically hitting on her. The first thing is like, right, the time travel machine. She's like, she realized what it is. He hits the red dot. He's trying again. Everything he says is wrong. He's kind of like super awkward. He says his name is lame. Then he hits the red time machine. Says it's James. He keeps trying. It's like Groundhog Day, right? Keep trying until he gets it right. And he keeps getting further and further. I don't know if any of like how he's hitting on her is important until he gets to like the book that she's reading, right?
Oh, it's important. She wants him to come correct and with intent.
Yeah, she wants him to hit on her. She wants him to be a little bad boy and try harder.
She's been working on science a long time. She needs a break.
Yeah, she's a freak for sure.
when her hair goes down, the legs go up.
Wow.
Wow. So he does get to a point where once he's getting a little more aggressive and he tells her like spank him or he's going to spank her. She's like, cool, let's do it. Let's go. Let's do this. And that's when he notices her book.
Yeah. And offends her like, oh, you like time travel?
No, he says, you like science. She's like, my 5-year-old niece likes science. Here it is. Desmond, do you have it? Do you have it ready? I have a doctorate in quantum mechanics. And he says, oh, you like theoretical quantum mechanics regarding both our perceptions of time and how we deal with universal spatial geography?
You're not going to believe this, Scott. I didn't have my subtitles on.
Oh. So basically, she studies this stuff. So then he has to recorrect it. When he insults her about science, he researches it further, goes back.
Well, the best is, too, I love it when she's just like, I am a blah, 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 blah. He's just like, burr. Just like, she's like,
what's your favorite part about? And he's like, the butt. He's like, oh, we're still talking about science.
There it is, our constant.
And then she's right. And she's like, that's why it's so scary. And he's like, why? And she's like, well, if you read the chapter on practical application. And then he's like, oh, of course I read the chapter. And then he has a few rehits, but then he realizes it's 95 pages. Then there's one where he comes by and he steals the book. It's like, she doesn't even know who he is. He's like, this won't matter. I'll change this anyway. And he's like reading the book, but it's too many pages.
The best line, yeah, is when she's like, what is going on? He's like, don't matter. This one doesn't even count.
Doesn't even count.
So great.
I wish they would have showed the dead body from that guy, because he was standing up when he grabbed the book.
Right. They might have.
And realized it was 95.
There was a guy laying flat on the ground.
Oh, there was? Okay, good. Okay, good.
Yeah.
You count? Did they actually? Well, okay, let's get to it. Then we'll talk
about it. No, it wasn't. It was close.
It wasn't 16.
It was 14 or 15. I think it was 15. Like, it was like, so basically that was the 16th incarnation.
Right.
So he hit the button 15 times.
Oh, right, right.
That was his 16th try.
So he finally, instead of reading it, he admits, he's like, no, can you tell me what's so scary? And she, you know, and then I think she asks him how many times he's done this. And he says, I don't know, maybe like 16. And she said, he's like, does that creep you out? And she says, how beautiful that is. And he's like,
yeah, she's like, it's so romantic.
Yeah, no one's ever really fought for me like that, let alone die for me. He's like, yeah.
Wait, what? Die?
And she's like, right, the point of the chapter is that time travel is impossible. She's like, every time you push that button, you've made a copy of yourself in a parallel world. And the other one that exists 1 minute past your original body dies in the genuine or earlier universe.
And he was like, wait, what? And then they show all the dead bodies sitting next to her.
Yeah, is that before he says he can't get a boner now? Yeah,
it was before, because then, yeah, she's like super turned on because he has left a trail of dead bodies in his wake to get to her. And he's not feeling up to it because now he's left a trail of dead bodies in his wake.
Yeah. So they show
two things to talk about here with that. First thing is, like, we've established that she's a freak and she kind of, this kind of turns around and she likes it. But wouldn't that be kind of creepy? I know in some past episodes, there have been a similar situation where somebody has been able to time travel and essentially manipulate someone else into liking them.
Right.
And how would you actually feel if someone did that? If someone was capable of time traveling and made you fall in love with them or whatever. So that's the first thing.
It would feel creepy, right? If you're on a date and it's going really well, and then you find out that, like, I've time traveled and done this maybe 60 times with you.
Yeah.
All the responses are pre-programmed and researched to be exactly what you want.
It's super unethical, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If for some reason they couldn't do it anymore once they, quote unquote, got you, then it'd be kind of romantic. But from that point forward, you'd never trust them again.
That's true. That's true in the relationship. Yeah.
They tried every permutation of everything that could happen with you, avoided every argument. Like, we've seen that.
Yeah, we've seen that.
Every time you're eating Indian food and you're just like, I fucking hate Indian food. How did we fucking end up here again?
Yeah, that's because they manipulated it.
She just took it that he worked so hard for her. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's a freak.
And then how does she refer to it later? Like, later on, after you see his 16 deaths, you see, like, all these, or 15, there's all these realities where there's just a dead body in her and she's freaking out. And then when they're back in this one, she's like, she says the bright side because you're the first successful multiple suicide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she keeps calling it, like, let's go back to my place and forget this little murder box.
Yeah, yeah.
The suicide machine.
Wait, what? Murder box? I mean, suicide machine. Damn it. And then
it's hitting him. Yeah. He's like, how can I ever get a boner again? He's like, knowing this.
Well, that's the second thing to think about is, like, all the other versions of you that you have killed. And yeah, there's potentially infinite amount of them. But still, it's like you just killed yourself version in another universe.
Sorry, I was trying to search for something. Did you guys mention now that she's hitting the button?
We didn't do that yet. No.
So now she's super turned on and he's not.
Yeah.
And she's just like, all right, he got me worked up. We got to finish this deal. So she just kind of looks the other way and says, Genevieve, is it Genevieve? No, that's not right. Gwendolyn.
Her name in the movie?
Yeah, whatever it is. She's just like, Gwen, I hope you appreciate what I'm about to do for you, because she knows she's going to kill herself now. So the Gwen 2 can have a new shot at him, and she has another shot.
So essentially, yeah, it copies everything you know, copies yourself, and then splits the timeline from that very moment, or from 1 minute ago, and then you continue on one of those timelines, but the other one is just dead.
So it's weird, because she said you make a cop. Did she say you make a copy of the whole universe?
No.
Yeah, you have to.
So is there another him in this universe?
He said you created a copy of yourself in a parallel world that exists 1 minute in the past.
So there's two of him in those parallel worlds then. Or is he, is the...
It sounds like it's consciousness.
No, I mean...
Or he like photocopies and is like photocopy paper and making a new parallel world. Like, he's creating the world, I guess, each time.
The whole universe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's a time machine. You're making a splinter universe.
Yeah.
And you're just so... Are these orphan universes you're leaving in your wake?
No, they go on.
No, they still go on and still exist.
Without him.
But the version of you, is dead.
I love what she said, that time travel is impossible. You're just making a parallel world. Just the concept of, like, you know, it's an impossibility to travel in a timeline.
If you think about, like, the infinite possibilities, right? They talk about we've talked about this, every decision you've ever made is a different alternate universe. So when you hit that button, essentially, you're just going back 1 minute to an alternate universe and trying something different. But you have the consciousness of all the other times you've hit that button. So it kind of is consciousness travel.
But you're not really splitting, though, because you're...
Well, it's just one theory. You could... Ari's is that possibility exists and he's going to it. You could just say that, like, there is one timeline, but he is a time machine and this starts creating... splinters
at the of the whole universe.
This guy, it was one timeline. If someone else has a time machine, whatever, but, like, because of this, he starts creating splinter universes, because that's what it does. Because she's saying that time travel is not
impossible,
which is cool.
Yeah,
by the way, I like the end. She calls it a multi-dimensional murder box, and that's the name for her band.
That should totally be multi-dimensional murder box.
It's not like you made a multi-dimensional murder box or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
I wish they would follow up with this. They need to do like a sequel or a prequel to this to like get the origin story.
She did the show. She said they were thinking of doing a sequel.
Were they with her?
Yeah. Do you remember? Ari and I met her. We said how this movie was fantastic. And she said they were thinking they were going to work on maybe another one.
I know. It's so funny. Didn't you go up to her and say, like, I loved you in 1 minute time machine?
Yeah.
You
know, but I bet nobody says this, but.
Yeah.
Where'd you see her at?
We know she's friends with a friend of ours.
Oh, that's awesome.
She did Mortified.
Oh, rad.
Yeah.
There we go. What a connection.
She's very sweet.
Yeah.
Everybody go check out Mortified.
And while you're at it, go check out Interstellar. Fine film.
Go watch Interstellar.
That's, you know what, our,
you didn't,
our constant is Interstellar.
Yeah,
that is our you just have to put it in there now. You can't go a single it's episode.
It's tradition. It's like you killed Kenny on South Park. It's it's got to happen each episode.
It's like a drinking game.
So, like in most movies like this, the person who stole the box would figure out how to go back far enough so the other person didn't know they had the box. But in the theoretical sequel to this, they're both sitting on a park bench with the box in between them, just like playing whack-a-mole.
Well, maybe they went home together and it's like, it could be them as a married couple and they both have boxes and everything's getting switched and there's multiple parallel worlds from both of them. And then you could see so many worlds where their boyfriend or girlfriend or spouse has died on them. And
so do you think he has the technology to just make these and sell them on eBay, or do you think he got lucky and like found one time crystal and it can only be used?
I don't think he made this. I don't think he seems like he.
Yeah, he's kind of a doofus.
Yeah, he found it in like a junkyard.
He totally found it.
Oh, good call. That's a great prequel. The person who actually knows how to use it.
Yeah, he got killed, or she got killed, or who knows?
Yeah, like the origin of the box. You got to do the story.
Yeah, they thought it didn't work, but it did. Or it doomed their life and they threw it away.
Now, is the box in the failed universes? Do you guys remember?
Oh, good point.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
So there's 16 of hers.
It's only a minute ago. He had the box a minute ago.
And so in those shots, the box is still there. He's holding onto the box. I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure. I'm looking at it right now.
I can look it up on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm on YouTube right now. It looks like the box is always there.
Okay. So the box continues on.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. He's dead holding the box.
Okay. Yeah. There he is holding the box. So, yeah. So now she or a police, some guy, like it could get taken into custody and like put in. Well, there's 16 of them. So like one of them is in a lockbox at the police station. Three of them she took with her because she's freaking out, wondering what the hell happened.
I mean, I'm sure there was more than 16. I'm sure he used it more than just, you know.
I don't know that he did. He seems like he's learning on the fly here. I think this is a guy who is used to striking out, and he's like a teenage boy. Like, that's the, like, what would you do with if you were a time god? I'd get chicks, man.
Yeah.
I like how it flips, though, right? She's almost like the victim of the first half, and he's hitting on her. Then she's kind of cranking all the jokes, and he's like freaked out, and she's like, yeah, it's okay. Just you have the multiple suicide, and kills you. Like, it flips halfway through. I like that.
Oh, she made the box and planted it so that he'd find it and test it.
I mean.
Oh, that, but then she used it.
All of it's failed. Yeah, I mean, hey, they're all possibilities.
Oh, no, she wouldn't want to do that because. Even though she's not dead in the 16 other universes, this still isn't Gwen Prime. And she wouldn't want that.
Hey, can you guys answer a question? This might be a better Ari question. Did you see on YouTube, it says the short film that probably helped Rick and Morty win an Emmy?
Yeah, I did see that.
Do you remember what that's referring to? I mean,
multiple dimensions, probably.
There's so many episodes that it's hard to even remember what the direct reference is.
Well, I mean, just the concept, maybe. I don't know. When did this short come out?
2014.
Yeah.
And when did Rick and Morty start?
That's a good question.
I just want to point out, too, that the writer of this wrote he was the head writer on the final season of The 100, which is the worst show I ever enjoyed finishing.
Rick and Morty started in 2013.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I just thought maybe the concept of the multiple dimensions. I don't remember specifically an episode.
Yeah, I don't remember if there's a specific one, but
I would just like to say loud and proud that I supported this movie with my money.
I did too.
I now own it on Amazon.
How much did you buy it for?
$3.
Oh, I rented it for 99 cents. I should have done that. That would have been a good $3.
Yeah, it was a 99 cent rent or like a 2.6. It was a weird.
Oh, man, I missed that.
It was a weird purchase price. But
good, support the arts.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But like this film, you know, I know Ari and I have talked about like time travel films that in our minds and that we make. Or like, how do you make, now we've seen a bunch, but like a rom-com time travel film and all that. And it's hard to do time travel films because you need budget, right? And look at these guys. They have a bench, two people, and a box that's a shoebox covered in black construction paper with some buttons. And they did it. It's really impressive.
Yeah. And it's really entertaining.
And it's got good theory.
If you have the right idea, you can do a low budget time travel movie. Like you can't, you know, you can't do Interstellar, but like you look at Primer. But yeah, I think with the right idea, low budget. I mean, look at obviously it's a big budget movie, but like Hot Tub Time Machine, like that time travel sequence is just a camera spinning around a hot tub. they wake up in the morning.
We shot a short one person time travel film, low budget, in my old apartment. It's currently being edited.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And we tried to keep it as simple as possible. It's one actor, it's one apartment, but it's amazing. Like, you know, because we're trying to do some challenging ideas, the continuity you have to try to remember in your head of like, wait, he'd be running from the room in that way, but that was in the past. Like it boggles your brain. It's challenging.
Yeah. It's very difficult to write, let alone film a time travel movie, low budget. Yeah.
Look at how much time we spent trying to continuity a scene from Office Space.
Right.
Wait, when is this? No, we can't shoot that scene yet because then the copy machine will be broken. We got to shoot this one first before we break the machine.
Yeah, with time travel, it gets tricky.
Yeah. And this movie, too, like this is one of those. Even if you look up a hardcore time travel movie, a lot of times you'll just get a bunch of action films or you'll get a bunch of Bruce Willis films. Like everything in the customers also watch section of this movie is fuck. I've already purchased another short. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm just like, yeah, $3 for another 15 minute short. Like I'm in. So we'll be doing Another Time soon, and we'll be doing Stop Eject soon. Oh, I shouldn't say soon. Sometime this fall.
Those are the shorts that you're talking about?
Yeah, they're both 15 minutes long, and I'm going to buy Stop Eject right now.
You're 15 minutes long.
So, I mean, we could go on, but let's cut to the chase.
Yeah.
Do you want a 1 minute time machine, Ari?
Yeah, I do. It's tough though, because, you know, with the knowledge of I'm essentially, you know, killing another version of myself, that's a little tough.
But you know, it's weird. You're creating that other version. I mean, you're leaving that version to form a new version. So like, it's not like it existed otherwise.
Yeah. But what I think about is all the other people.
It depends on the theory.
What I think about is all the other people in that universe, like my family in that universe, all my friends that, you know, I now have left, you know, that
unexplainedly.
Yeah. Dead to just drop dead.
That's true. Huh? That's like 16 universes where like your loved ones, your lover, partner, family members, best friends are like.
And with a one machine time machine, you use it all the fucking time.
Yeah, because it's just 1 minute.
Shit, I want the soup. I want the soup, not the salad. Boop.
If it's the version that I said, like where you're creating the multiverse, like that universe wouldn't have existed otherwise anyway.
Right.
Does she say it's created?
But it does.
Or are you just going into a copy that's already there? I felt like she said you're going into another copy.
No, she said you made a copy in a parallel universe. Let me find it again. The third time I've had to say that.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It seems like you have to be very selfish.
You created a copy of yourself in a parallel world that exists 1 minute in your past. Your original body.
A copy of yourself.
Your original body dies in the genuine or the earlier universe.
See, she says a copy of yourself. She does not say a copy of the universe. So I think there might be two of him in this new universe.
To a parallel world.
There can't be, because they're in the exact same spot.
There can't be. He's in the same place. Yeah, he would be sitting next to himself.
But if he's a minute ago...
She's just saying, like, he goes a minute ago and, like, starts a new Splinter.
It's not in the same universe. It's not...
I know it's not in the same universe, but he's...
She's saying he's going back, and now he's... Just think it's like the Avengers Endgame. He's splintering off. He goes a minute ago, and it's making a new branch. And then if he does another one from that branch, it's a branch off of that and a branch off of that.
Yeah, see, that's doubly scary. One, it's scary anyways. And two, it's scary that this time machine looks like an old 8-track player that he just he just rewired.
Yeah, he found it in a dumpster. I'm telling you, this guy found, he got into an apartment and it was like in a hidden attic. Someone left.
But if somebody opens it up, they're going to be like, oh, I can buy all this shit at Radio Shack. And now everybody's got one of these.
Yeah, you got to be responsible.
Whoa.
Would you guys use it?
Not knowing what I know. If I never met this woman and her theories, I would use the fuck out. I would abuse it. I would wear that red button out.
But knowing what it does, you would not use it?
I would maybe only use it for like, not like for like changing your food order, but like for major things maybe.
But you just can't, because knowing, like Ari said, knowing that your whole family is just, there's no answers. Just like,
yeah,
you know, some lady at a park and just be like, I don't know. And then again, it would cause mayhem because she'd just be like, I don't know. He pressed
maybe
this red
you could
button.
Beat the system. You could have a note in your pocket at all times explaining things.
What would it say? I use a time machine. Sorry,
wife of 20 years, but I use a time machine. I'm in an alternate universe, but somewhere we're happy.
Yeah, but this body looks like me and it is me, but my consciousness is somewhere else. So don't grieve for me.
I wanted to change a decision I made. Bye.
Yeah, I wanted the soup.
The note will just say, they didn't tell me it was clam chowder.
Yeah, I wanted
you understand.
The salad.
I hate clam chowder. I thought it was the red one.
Yeah, it's pretty dark.
Who has creamy blue cheese dressing? I mean, really?
Yeah.
Who doesn't make chunky blue cheese dressing?
I didn't know it was iceberg monsters. Lettuce.
I'm sorry, Ari. I just this has been the one, my constant all day long, and it's taken me 41 minutes to remember it. If I ask a woman if I can sit down and she goes, it's a free country, I'm out of there. I'm gonna go use my time machine on someone else. Like, that is just, I don't know why. And I know, you know, she's a great actress. She's just playing the part, but nope. Next.
She's sassy.
I just hit the button and go to another park bench.
She wants someone to be direct and tell them that they want to spank her.
So can we talk about now that, you know, if you were to repeatedly hit that button over and over again, could you eventually go back like a year in time?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Here's the question. Would he be at that bench a year in time or would he be in his own timeline?
I think he goes back to where he was a minute ago.
No, I think he would go back to where he was a year ago if he was trying to.
Right. But
1 minute at a time.
If he keeps pressing the button, is he just at the park bench 20 minutes ago, or is he back in his own timeline where he walked from his apartment?
Yeah, I think he would like start appearing back in time 1 minute where he was.
Okay, yeah. It's interesting. This is coming up now, this idea of like, obviously time, are you moving on your timeline or are you moving throughout time in the space that you were in? It's a cool that it's coming up, right? That came up in our D&D.
Well, it made it look like it was space and time.
Yeah.
Because he would jump. Yeah.
It's an interesting thought that some movies don't cover.
Yeah.
Right. The idea, like if you're in an airplane and you time travel and it was before the plane was there, you are just out there in the air and you will drop. It's time and not space, unless it's your timeline. And back an hour ago, you were in the airport. Those are different things, traveling along a timeline or just staying in the same space, traveling in time.
Yeah.
If you went back 1 year, you would leave a trail of 525,600 dead bodies. In alternate
universes. That's how many
universes.
Minutes in a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
It would take you it would take you 525,000 universes. You would create that many other universes.
525,000 minutes in a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's... See, I just don't think... I think the universe would collapse under its own weight if every time you hit that button, it created an entire copy.
It's funny to think of one person creating the multiverse. Like, if there's no other time travel machine and this was, everything was one linear timeline, this is the first one, he is single-handedly creating a multiverse.
Yeah.
Off his own ego.
Yeah.
But then if other people have this machine and they keep pressing it, the different multiverses and branches off their own branches, it's interesting to think about. I do think it does make sense. It makes sense that you would go back in your own timeline for these kind of things. Because it's like your matter was not supposed to take up that space in a different time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish, because it sounds like she's, you know, she's quoting something that is in a Wikipedia page somewhere. I couldn't find it to figure out what, you know, if this theory is a real time travel theory. Like, there is no such thing as going back in time.
I mean, it is a theory. It's...
Yeah, it is a theory.
It is. Oh, it is.
Yeah, the splintering. Yeah.
But is that under the same theory that every time you turn left, there's a version of you that turned right?
Yeah.
There's two possibilities.
So those universes both already simultaneously exist. It's not.
One theory is that, yes, there's an infinite universe of every possibility. And you can't even think of that because even from those moments, there's every moment is another decision. And that's just you. And there's lots of people on the planet.
Literally infinite.
Yeah. There's another one that's just he's creating because of the machine. They're creating Splinter. If someone could time travel, they take this timeline and now they make Splinters.
Which would then...
That's kind of like what Avengers was doing too.
Coupled with the infinite decision model.
Oh, you know what? I just remembered.
No, please.
Sorry. I think I remembered the episode of Rick and Morty that they might be referring to.
Okay. Which one?
It's the one where Rick has like a belt or some device that makes him redo an event. Remember he like...
Is it the one that goes like super split screen and starts showing?
Oh, no. Oh. No. It's not that one. It's the one where it's like a pen or some device where he like can redo it. Remember he like tries to jump over a manhole and he
was
like falls.
Pen?
I don't remember what the device was, but so he pushes the button and he essentially, it's like a copy thing. Like he makes a copy and he goes back to when he was at that time. Anyway, yes, there is an episode that's kind of like this where you go back. And then Morty or Rick, whoever it is, explains like you've essentially just killed yourself in all of those other versions. Yeah, he's like, it's not time travel, Morty. It's alternate dimensions. There's infinite amount of dimensions. And so this device just finds the dimension where you didn't fall in that manhole. You made it across the little jump and you continue on in that universe, but your old self is dead.
Yes, I do. I vaguely remember that.
You vaguely remember that one? Yeah. So, sorry. It just came to me. So
that's all right. Well, we got to do it. Everyone out there who's listened to this episode, hold us to it. Remind us what episode that is. We'll do it.
Yeah. So maybe they won an Emmy for that episode. I don't know.
Yeah. We've seen a lot of films cover the Splinter universes, but not other ones that covered your body just turning into a pop. You know, it's interesting. So I was just thinking about Back to the Future. The first one is supposed to be rewriting a linear timeline, but then the second one picks the alternate timeline method. Yeah. Or they're saying you're still rewriting the one timeline. I'm trying to remember.
No, it's an alternate universe because that's why they have to go back to where before the timeline split.
But are they saying it's an alternate? Are they saying that you've rewritten the one timeline and you got to go back to the point that changed it?
No. Oh,
I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
I think they are still trying to. Back to the Future is relying on this being pretty linear and that it's happened for the first time.
And one timeline. Yeah,
I think. But you just got to go back to the point before he changed it. But it's almost like the universe you're talking about, Marty, does no longer exist. But you got to go back to the point where everything changed.
Right.
Yes, it's one dimension, one timeline.
So, yeah, and they never get into it. But in theory, there's. Before Marty and Doc return the time stone, aka take away the sports almanac, there's two timelines. There's possibly.
Well, they've seen two, but they might have rewritten.
Well, they have not. Well, they've seen two, but they can't. They can never get back to the original timeline unless they steal the sports almanac. Their original timeline is gone forever.
Right.
Until they steal.
But in all honesty, they've already changed things. Even if this almanac fiasco in a butterfly effect sense, something's already different, and maybe some things won't be exactly the same what they go back to.
Yeah. Marty has interacted with way too many. I mean, the guy at the coffee shop heard his watch beep. I mean, that guy's life is never going to be the same.
Yeah, butterfly effect.
Yeah. What, did you jump ship? I got to listen to a different podcast talk about Back to the Future 2 all day today. So it was very, very exciting.
So yeah, I would say this film, like, again, for being 5 minutes, is better than a lot of that full feature films, high budget films we've seen. Like, this would still be like higher on my list than a lot of films we've even reviewed. So impressive. Yeah. Well done.
It's all time travel, no filler, baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good concepts. It was funny.
Well, this is the horniest movie. This is hornier than Marty McFly's mom coming on to him in the back seat of a car. Oh, fanned.
Yeah, I mean, trying to get laid was definitely the motivation to use this murder box.
For both
maybe
of them.
There's like a high budget time travel porn out there, guys. Maybe we can review. There's a high budget time travel porn. They have to like go back and bring orgasm.
Scott. Yep.
Okay.
I'll send you some links.
Oh boy. That episode is one where I will not be on.
That's Patreon, baby. XXX. Thank you for listening to Time Pop. We hope you have enjoyed this journey through time. Please like, subscribe, and tell a friend about Time Pop. Please check us out on Instagram. We are at time_pop_pod, at Time Pop Pod. Keep sending us great movie recommendations, long or short. We like them all here, baby, at timepoppod@gmail.com. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. You can also send any questions or comments from this or any other or any past episode to the same address. That is timepoppod@gmail.com. Please, everyone out there, please do us a favor. If you could give us 5 stars, give us a little review. We're getting a lot of great listeners, and I'm loving all of you. But we would very much appreciate it if you would tell the algorithms that you're listening to us. I see that you're listening, but iTunes needs to hear about it, and it will help us create your community so we can have more listeners, more conversations, and more great recommendations. Thank you. Until next time, I'm Desmond McNeese.
I'm Ariel.
And I'm Scott.
But.
That's our constant, baby.
He said the butt. He said the butt.
Yeah, what's your favorite part? The butt. Oh, we're talking about science still.
Okay, the butt.
Oh, I meant black holes. We're still talking about science.
Yeah.
I meant black holes. Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com. Scott!